Good morning, and I want to just thank you for being with us in the presence of the Lord today. It is such a good day for me. I'm so excited to be back in my home on this call with friends and just being able to praise the Lord. What an incredible opportunity that we have. I was praying yesterday as I was flying back from Florida. I prayed in the morning, and I didn't get a clear direction on what to talk about, and I prayed again in the afternoon, and then when I was in the flight, I just kept praying and praying, and finally, about the last 20 minutes of my flight, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Faith without works is dead." And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I hope that this message just touches your heart. And if you've got a story to share, if you've got a praise or something that you would like to share at the end of the call, I'd love to have you share that with us. A lot of people think that we can just believe for something. And I just want to get really clear about really understanding about what is faith. Because faith is really believing God. And, you know, it's always been the mark of a disciple of Jesus. And that's why the early disciples were known as believers. Instead of, they weren't really called disciples because that just means they were ones that were disciplined. But they were believers. And Jesus said in Mark 9:23 that everything is possible for him who believes. So I don't know what you're facing today or what's happened in your week or your weekend. But I want you to know that everything is possible if you're a believer. Now, faith does mean a couple of things. It means having total dependence on God. You know, when Adam sinned, he stepped out of God's dependence and into independence. And we treasure independence in America. That's one of our definitely the founding pillars of our country. But really what independence is unbelief. So it's a fine line. Yes, we want to be free from this world and independent of this world, but we want to make sure that we have God dependence. You know, this is the reason that God has placed such a high priority on faith. Faith is the way that we come back into the relationship with God, into that God dependence, and the God dependence that we have is really called faith. It advances us beyond our five senses of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touch, because we know that those are all parts of the physical body, right? And we're a triune being. We're spirit, soul, and then we've got a flesh, a kind of a meat case kind of that encases it all. And when we can finally get out of the flesh, we can step into faith. We go beyond regular understanding, which would be our soul, our mind, our will, and emotion, and it reconnects our spirit man back to God, and it releases you from your limited capacities. And that's the part that gets me really excited, because sometimes I can think and reason something out, or sometimes I think I can do something physically beyond my normal limitations. But we know that it's really not from our own ability, it's from His ability. And the walk by faith that God has called all of us to tells us that nothing's impossible in Matthew 17:20. So we know, according to Mark 9:23, that everything's possible for him who believes. And in Matthew 17:20, we know that nothing's impossible. But this is where it gets kind of tricky. This is back to one of those other things about faith. Faith means having trust, assurance, or confidence in another or in a person's word. How many of you remember learning this song, "Trust and Obey"? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So if we really just went back to trusting and obeying God, can you imagine the difference our lives would be? And we were taught that probably at 3 or 4 years of age. I can remember teaching that to my kids. That was one of their very first songs we taught them in homeschool. And we would sing that together, and they're voices just melded so beautifully. Many times we were asked to sing that in the front of the church, and it was a good reminder each and every time we would sing it, whether it was in school or if it was at church or even just in the car driving around, that was what we truly needed to do. You know, having faith in God involves an exchange of self-trust for God trust. We stop trusting in ourselves and we really trust in Him, and we abandon the reliance on our limited source of knowledge, because we know it's very limited, and we start receiving from His unlimited source. One of my favorite things to do before I go to sleep is to just lay in bed and just go over the day and thank the Lord and be grateful for all the things that I've learned or accomplished or been able to do in and through Him. And then I like to just lay there and stand in faith for the things for the next day. Because what I know that happens is I'm tapping into my unlimited source, where if I'm up and about during the day, sometimes my flesh gets in the way, or I think, oh, I could do this, or sometimes my flesh doesn't cooperate properly, and I feel like, oh, I can't do this in the flesh. But I know that when I really tap into total faith in God, then all things are possible. But lastly today, faith is an obedient action in response to what God has said. You know, true faith is expressed in obedience and action. In response to hearing God's word or His voice, here's the Bible definition of faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, because we know Hebrews is the faith book, right? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I'm going to repeat that again because this is so good, because so many of us have a dream in our heart or there's a position in our company that we really want to move forward to, and we don't necessarily act on it in faith. So faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain, there's no wavering doubt there, of what we do not see. When we have faith, it's kind of like the title deed. Even though we don't see it on this realm, in this earth, right now, the physical realm, tangibly, we know that we've received it. We just recently, two of our cars died, in the one in the driveway, one on the highway, same week, couple days apart, and no, we couldn't even explain it. Even the mechanics couldn't explain why they died. Both engines blew up, don't really know the reason. And so we decided, we've been talking a long time about ordering a Prius, because we drive back and forth to church almost every day, and we usually take two or three cars. And it is, it takes us about 40, 45 minutes to get to church each way. And so we were just eating up gas, and it was just like, I felt like we were throwing $100 bills right out the window every week. And so we thought, well, we're going to order a Prius. Now, we ordered the Prius, and the thing is Toyota builds all vehicles, and they don't really have a whole lot on stock or in inventory. They build them on demand. So even the ones that are sitting on your car lot have been purchased and built not too long ago, because they don't like to have things on the lot. So we ordered the Prius, and they said that we have the Prius, and they gave us our order number and our bill. And so we know that the Prius is ours. Now, we're waiting for it to come in from Japan. It was actually in build last week, so we're thinking it should be done and on its way to us very, very soon. So what we're doing now is we're believing, we're standing in faith because we've ordered it, we've put some money towards it. We know that we've got that the Prius is ours. When it gets here, they're not going to say, you know what, that girl has a really cute hairdo, I think I'm going to give that Prius to her instead. Or, you know, that person says, you know what, I think I like that. So because they want it, I'll give it to them instead. Or because, you know what, they're smarter, stronger, shorter, taller, thinner, fatter. Whatever it is, they get to have what we've ordered or what we've asked for. You know, many times we have more faith by the time that we roll around the drive-thru at McDonald's than we do in what God has asked or we've asked God for. Yet He tells us in His Word in Mark 9:23 that everything's possible for him who believes, and nothing's impossible for God, according to Matthew 17:20. So we have to be certain that we see, not certain that we're going to get the Big Mac when we roll around after we've ordered it, but that we're certain that whatever we've asked of God, the powerful, almighty God of the universe, is going to give us what we've asked for. Now, let me briefly just touch on how does faith really work. The principle of faith is to operate in our lives continually, no matter what the circumstances, not just when it feels right or it feels good or just when we think about it. Faith is working at all times, whether it's for the things that we want from God and we've asked Him for, or the things we've confessed that might be negative coming out of our mouths. You know, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:18a that we should not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. When we put our trust in the higher truth of God, we're exercising faith. And that kind of faith works in the following way. Number one, we hear the word of God. You know, God encourages us to speak a word relevant to our circumstances This may come to you as you read your Bible or hear someone else speak about the Word or speak the Word of God from the Bible. And that tells us, that's told to us from Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the Word, and it's heard through the Word of Christ. Secondly, we believe the Word. We can obviously not have faith in something we don't believe. So for faith to work, it must be in our heart. Not in our head, in our heart. Romans 10:8 says, the Word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That's the Word of faith. So not only are we going to be speaking the Word, we're going to hear the Word, then we're going to put the Word in our heart, and then we're going to obey the Word. For faith to operate in our situation, we have to obey the Word. Faith is active, not passive. You know, most of God's promises are conditional. He will do His part if we do our part. It actually tells us in James 2:17, faith by itself is not accompanied by action. It's dead. And then the way that we obey the Word comes by two important things. Number one, speaking the Word. Unless we speak God's Word in faith, it can never work for us. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that's the key, doesn't doubt in his heart, and believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done. So we have to speak the Word of God, and then we have to stand on the Word of God. There are things happening all around us, and they often appear contrary to what God has said. And there seems to be no natural evidence for our believing. At this point, our faith must be completely on God's Word. You know, He's not a liar, and I don't ever want to doubt Him, because if I doubt Him in one thing, I may doubt Him in all. You know, it seems that there's no natural evidence for our believing. At this point, when we can't see it, our faith must rest completely on the Word of God, and that's what He wants. In faith, we cast ourselves on His faithfulness, and God is faithful and does not abandon us. He was faithful to Thomas and Peter when their faith was tested, and God, Jesus did not abandon them. Even when they were face-to-face with Jesus, Peter denied Him, and Thomas doubted Him, questioning, really wanting proof. Jesus didn't abandon him, and He tells us in His Word in Hebrews 13:15 that He will never leave us or forsake us. So don't give up. It tells us in the Word that the result of having faith, according to 1 John 5:4, tells us that everyone born of God has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, as I was thinking and pondering and praying, the Lord just kept taking me back to James 2:14, and it says, dear friends, and this is from the Message translation, which is kind of more of a modern translation, spoken in kind of our language. So I wanted to read this to you because I don't know who this is for, but it was very, very clear from the Lord that this was for someone that was going to be on the call. It says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? How many times do we think we have to go to more training and more training and more training? We have to learn the right thing to say, a different way to say it. We have to script it just like the most popular or most successful people in our world or our business. But you can have all the right words and never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? Think about that for your business. Yeah, we want to confess where we're going with our business. Maybe you want to be at the top level of your company, or you want to be the number one person in your state in sales, or whatever it is, but we merely talk about it. Yeah, that's where the belief starts, and it can help grow your belief, but we learn that it comes from what? Hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and then obeying what He's told us to do. Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half-starved and say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you just walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? If you take one thing away from today's call, I want you to take that part of verse 17. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? If you're talking about promoting in your business, or you're talking about moving up in sales, or talking about getting bookings or securing prospecting appointments, and you're not actually doing it, and you're not putting a little elbow grease and footsteps out with your faith, isn't it outrageous? I can already hear you saying, and this is verse 18, it says, if you are agreeing by saying, oh, that sounds good. All right, so how we're going to do this is you take care of the faith department and I'll handle the works department. How many times have people made the mistake in our company thinking that they could manage versus leading by example and staying active in the field? Not so fast, the last part of verse 18 says, you can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from your works. Faith and works, works and faith, they fit together like a hand in a glove. Now, do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you're complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? How many times do you say, I believe God's promoting me? I believe God's doing this in my life, but yet we sit back complacently, just waiting. It kind of reminds me of like the guy, I'm sure you've heard this before, that he's been in a hurricane, he's on his rooftop, he's waiting for a rescue, and he's praying to God, and here comes some guy, and he comes by in a little rowboat, and he says, come on, get in, I'm here to save you. He's like, no, brother, I'm praying, I'm waiting for the Lord to deliver me. He's going to save me. And so the guy says, okay, well, he keeps going on. And the next, here comes a guy in a little speedboat, and the waters are rising, and he says, come on, get in, man, you're going to drown, you're going to die. And he says, no, brother, I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. The guy just keeps going because he can see he's got to get out of there. The waters are rising. And the water's so high, and you can barely see him. He's up to his armpits. And pretty soon, he's at the tallest part of his house. And here comes a helicopter and a rescue crew. And he said, come on, brother, grab the lifeline. Come on, this is your last chance to get out. He said, no, brother, I'm waiting on God. He's going to save me. Well, hello, he sent three people to this man. But he was waiting for something different. So I'm going to encourage you to really think about the areas in your business. Where are you having faith? Are you believing? Are you hearing the word? Are you making sure you're reading the word and hearing the word? Read your Bible out loud. The greatest voice that you will ever hear is your own, and that's the one that you'll obey first and foremost. So make sure you're reading God's word out loud so you can hear that, and you're not hearing it just in your mind. Believing the word and then obeying. Make sure you're speaking the word and then standing on it, but make sure that you put it to action. The last part of verse 19 and 20 said, you know, do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you're complacently sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that. But what good does it them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can just cut faith and works into two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? How powerful is that? Is this the key that's been missing in your business? The faith and the works. You can't do just the works without the faith. You can't have just the faith without the works. Well, that concludes my lesson today, and I hope that it's spoken to your heart and that this week is not only filled and overflowing with faith and belief for what God has whispered to your heart, because if he's given you the dream, he's going to give you the team and the resources to make that happen. And I also hope that it's filled with activity that you find so rewarding that you'll know it's moving you forward in your business. Before I turn off the recording, I want to open this up for just a quick minute here and ask anybody, you know, if this spoke to your heart or if you've got a testimony to share or something to add value to our call today, I'd love to have you share that now. Does anybody have anything?
I do, Becky. It's Mary in Canada.
Yes.
Last week on our conference call with one of the team leaders, he had spoke on taking a leap of faith, and this just fits in to a T with what he said. You can have all the knowledge in your head, but if you don't put it into practice, it will get you nowhere. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else?
Becky, I just want to tell you that I was a little overwhelmed by all that, you know, and you start immediately thinking, now what, how, and what, why, and how can I do it, and just, you know, you just get so channeled. But I, in my own heart, know that I need God's guidance to direct me, because I want to be pure in heart with complete passion and authenticity through him. So I know that I must get on my knees and pray and meditate because and declare His word in what you said today. So I thank you for that passage. It really did speak to my heart. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, and it is easy to get overwhelmed. I can't tell you. I thought that we were already drinking from a fire hose with the John Maxwell team, but there was just so many other things that happened and connections, and more so than ever. And the one thing that I know is that God is a God of order, and He has a special purpose for each one of us, and that we need to just seek Him, get in our prayer closet, pull out our Bible, and just ask the Lord, what's the first step? What's the first step? Hold the intention for the dream, the big dream He's put in our heart, but what's the first step? What's the next step? And He will guide He's so faithful to guide our path, and it usually is so much better than all the stuff we try to figure out on our own. And we know that overwhelm and confusion and guilt are all from the enemy, so release those now in the name of Jesus and just move forward in what He tells you each step. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, anybody else have one last comment to share before we turn off the recording and go back into prayer time? All right, I'm guessing that was a nobody. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead because I don't want to stall you. I know many of you have 9 o'clock plans. And so I want to make sure that we honor that for you. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recording, but have a faith-filled week. And if you need anything, you know you can always find us on the business page, which is The Christian Direct Seller on Facebook. I monitor that every single day, unless I'm traveling like I was at the John Maxwell team. But I'm home for a while, and I'm anxious to connect with you. God bless you, everybody, and we'll connect next week. Those of you that are live on the call, stay on the call because we're going to go into prayer time.